Come out to Startup Story Night on March 19th. Four Detroit entrepreneurs will share their story about the good company they keep. It's at the legendary Cliff Bells Jazz Club. Get tickets at susndetroit.com. That's susndetroit.com. For many, the spirit for the adventure of entrepreneurship is present at a young age. There's no map. And when young guys stare ahead, it's a winding road, some unpaved strips, paths on the edge of cliffs with no bottom, and boundaries that just weren't meant to be crossed. The pressures of circumstance, the expectations of tradition, the obligations of family would cause any young person to turn around, or at least hesitate going forward. Gies Telukter of Mango Auto Sales says he's always been game for the excitement of it all. But it just took a little more time for him to find the road that was just right for him. Welcome to In Good Company. Honest stories on the route to becoming an entrepreneur in Detroit and Southeast Michigan. Because starting your adventure is hard enough without a roadmap, but maybe acknowledging someone else's journey lets us know that we're in good company. I'm Shannon Casey. When I first met Gies Telukter at WDET Studio, he had an observant demeanor. We shook hands, but he seemed to be scanning the environment, the people around, taking in the experience. I could see it because I kind of do the same thing when I walk in a new space. When we started talking, I saw that we had even more in common than expected. He's an auto dealer, but he's an explorer and poet at heart. As we talked more, I saw he's always lived a life that challenged initial expectations.
I was born in 1982 in Chittagong. That's a city in Bangladesh. That's the port city of Bangladesh. It's like a New York of U.S. and very busy.
In Bangladesh, at a young age, Gies loved to find his own way.
I was never scared. I used to take public buses, trains, and go farther than I can even think of. My son, who is now 11 years old, he's in fifth grade. I tell him, I said, when I was your, you can't even go by yourself to the playground. I have to escort you. But I said, when I was in your age, you can't even imagine where I went. I even sometime past night, you know, in a train station, I was scared to go anywhere. I don't know how to book a hotel or anything. So I just sat in a bench. My father sent us to India to study. So he sent us to a boarding school. I don't know if you're familiar with boarding school.
Serious school, that's what I think of. When I think of boarding school, I think serious school.
Serious school.
Boarding school was where Gia started considering coming to the United States.
Back in 98, when my father was planning on coming here to bring me here, my vision was totally different because, you know, how you watch movies and stuff. And I used to watch a lot of MacGyvers, you know, and a lot of TV series and stuff. We used to think, like, if you come to America, money is there laying around. All you have to just pick them up, you know, always in a fantasy land, like a wonderland.
Eventually, he visited the U.S. with his parents. They had family in New York. And when it was time to go back to Bangladesh, his New York family asked,
how about I stay? My parents were leaving, my mom and dad and me. Only three of us came here. They said he's young and he speaks English because when I started in India, I didn't study in my native language. I went to English school where 100% of the time that environment was all about English. You have to speak English, your subjects are in English, your maths, science, everything. I don't know much about my own language that much that I know about in English. So they said, you know, communication is the key over here. So we see a good future for him. Let him stay here. And then I applied I went to a school here. And in the meantime, I started working at a place called Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts provided the opportunity for Gius to apply for a work permit. A work permit allows non-U.S. citizens to stay in the United States with valid employment. And Gius got it. But after receiving the work permit, Gius wanted to use his time on more than just making the donuts. He started pharmacy school. And during his education, some unexpected heavy responsibility dropped in Gius's lap.
My father retired from UAE, so I had to support my family. So in my third year, I had to drop off my pharmacy school, and I never went back.
When you say support your family, who are you talking about? What do you mean when you say
support? I mean, support in a financial way. Mm-hmm. Like when he got retired, so a lot of my brothers still young, and I had to send some money for their family. So it wasn't enough for me to work and do the full-time school and not being able to work.
How does it feel to be placed in that responsibility? Like, you're in school, you have to support the family. Like, what is that? I haven't gone through that.
That was actually very tough. At the same time, I was young, you know. It shouldn't come into my mind. I'm not married. I don't have children. Like, I have now a responsibility. That's like I'm taking responsibility of somebody else. That was challenging. Like, keep myself from a lot of things that I want to do, a lot of places where I want to spend. And I had to cut my budget. A lot of places that I always dreamed about, like I want to explore more and more, which I could have done more. But when I cut my budget for supporting the family, it was really tough. And you have to have a lot of patience for it. It was very challenging for me.
Gius had been in pharmacy school and now worked in the pharmaceutical industry. But he saw himself doing something different.
I was always a businessman in my mind. Like, even when I came here, even before, business is what always attracted me, because to me, I used to think businessman has the most leisure hour and freedom, because you are your own boss no matter what you do. You know, you can make up time for what you need to do on the side. So job was never a priority for me, but I had to do it. But I was always thinking how to get out from here and do something on my own.
On the first trip back to Bangladesh to get married, so many things changed, including Gius.
Everything was new to me. And basically when the land gear is about to touch the ground, it actually shook me. As soon as it touched the ground, like, you know, I'm back. Everything changed a lot. Like, first time I went was after 7 years to my country. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things changed. A lot of things happened, you know. You lost a lot of people. You gained a lot of people. And everything was different for me. I thought I'm still that same Gius when I went there, but I was not the same person. I went to store, I didn't know how to talk, how to bargain. You know, I forgot everything. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to take a taxi. It took me a while to actually get it. Like, I couldn't even cross the street, like, walk away. It's you know.
It's just funny listening to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Then I found out myself, like, I'm not that Gius, you know, that Bangladeshi Gius anymore.
Gius had changed. But after that trip to Bangladesh, Gius decided to change other aspects of his life. When he came back to the United States, he bypassed New York for someplace warmer.
And then after I came back, I went straight to Florida. I had a friend there, and he told me, like, weathers are very good here. Why don't you move here? And I said, I think this is the time, like, I should make my changes. No more job. came to Florida. In New York, I could just go around with subways and stuff, trains, buses. But Florida, it's totally different. Without a vehicle, you're lame.
And no one wants to be a lame. So in Florida, Gius bought his first car, then made his first auto sale by accident.
My brother came, one of my youngest brother, he came to America. And when he came, I needed a car for him. So I helped him the same way he did in Craigslist. That's how I started. I bought a car for him that had a hole on the roof. I didn't know. Because
you can't tell on Craigslist.
Yeah. And Florida have a lot of rain.
Uh-huh.
And when I only found out about it after a week when it started raining, you can feel the, you know, rain from the roof. And it was, I think, in April, tax season. This is what clicking me. And I asked some people that I know what to do. They said, put it on Craigslist. You might be able to resell it back and find another one. Put in Craigslist, and my phone was like popcorn, like ringing. It's put for $1,300, $900, I mean. And I'm like, a lot of people interested. They're like, I'll cash you out right now. I'll cash you out right now. I need, you know. Then I deleted my advertisement. I put it back on with more money, $1,500. And it's still, I'm getting calls. And I sold it for $1,400. And that's what clicked me right there.
Wash, rinse, repeat. Gius went back and forth to the same dealership to buy cars and sell them at a premium on Craigslist. Until the owner of the auto lot told Gius, hey, you know there's an auction, right?
I started with like $20,000. I borrowed it from friends and family because I didn't have that much money to start begin with. It actually dropped down to less than $5,000. Within like 6-7 months. Most of the car that I bought, I didn't know, you know, how to judge the car. So it ended up very bad.
Did you know how, like, to work on cars or anything like that?
No, I didn't know how to. Like I told you, I didn't even know. All I thought, start a car means that's a car. That's mm-hmm. how I used to get busted in auction because I didn't know nothing about what to look for, basically. And then finally, when YouTube became very famous. I think YouTube wasn't as famous in 2010, 11. You know, it's getting there. Nowadays, you can find anything you want to, you know. And used to research, like, what to look for buying a car, you know, stuff like that. How to check a transmission, how to know engine is, what are the noises. I bought a car with knocking engine, not knowing what is that knock for. Thinking it's normal. Actually, in auction, you can find as low as $200 car mm-hmm. all the way up to, you know, $20,000. Mm-hmm. So I started buying those cheap cars with him. And finally, I started knowing that you can do more than 5 sales in a year being a private party. You have to have a license after that. And so I started working towards it. But Florida, the cars don't get bad that much because the weather is good, the roads are nice. So I was wondering where the car mostly, you know, used car gets bad, you know, and people need a lot of used cars. Somehow I started and I found out Detroit, Michigan.
Gius moved to Detroit in 2012 for opportunity. Now, you didn't hear that much. Especially in 2012.
You researched
mm-hmm.
where used cars would, because Florida, they drive for 20 years. And you researched, like, where would, you know, turn over cars a lot.
Mm.
And that's how you came about Detroit?
Or? That's how I came about Detroit.
Wow.
And because you don't want to sit with 5 cars for 5 months. You know, you want to sell it almost every day. So I found out I was researching, and Detroit has snow. And then I found out there's a lot of people from Bangladesh also lives in Hamtramck. And to and it became a little bit easier for me to actually begin the business because there are a lot of people that migrates newly and they don't speak. Sometimes they feel comfortable coming and they, you can explain better or they understands better, I mean. And the transactions become swift. Because people have feelings about used car dealer being the worst thing. Crooked, like crooks, you know, a lot of words about used car salesmanship. Because they think that you just want to make the sale. You don't think of what's going to happen into that person's life with this car being in their family, you know, next morning. So that's what I always wanted to. I want to stay genuine, like, you know, build that trust because otherwise you can't survive. I think you cannot survive long if you just try to be in business and screw people, but I think if you stay genuine, maybe you cannot make a lot of money at the beginning, but you last long with the recommendations.
In the long term.
Yeah, in the long term. It pays off in the long term.
And even deeper than Bingo Auto Sales being a moral used car dealer, Gius's service to the Hamtramck community is personal.
In this community, like, during the summertime, we have a lot of picnics, like huge picnics goes on. I don't spend my money in advertising in TV and newspaper. I had a different idea when picnics started and I see a big, huge gatherings of people goes there and it clicked me like, how about I give away a free car in a raffle every time there's a picnic from sponsored by Bengal Auto Sale. And we have a three-day festival there. And I started giving cars like in festival. It just raffle, no money. I don't take money for anybody that shows up there. They pay $2, take a raffle ticket, and the money goes to the festival organizer. So far, I give away 35 cars from Bengal Auto Sale.
You get a car. And Gius is excited about the future for Hamtramck and Detroit.
I think Hamtramck's, if the way Detroit is progressing, Hamtramck is basically related to Detroit. I call Hamtramck a son of Detroit, you know. And if downtown part of Detroit progresses, I think Hamtramck, it will pick up Hamtramck at the same time.
Hamtramck is a pocket of arts and culture just east of Detroit's north end. Visit Yemen Cafe and order a shawarma. Or get a punchki at New Palace Bakery. Come at night and hear music at Trixie. Or laugh at the improv at Ann Hall. And this is the Motor City. It's lame to be carless. Look for Gius Tulluchter at Bengal Auto Sales. Or just come to one of the many Hamtramck festivals, get a raffle ticket, and you may just be a winner. This episode was produced and mixed by Alex Trajano. And I'm your host, Shannon Kaysen. Original music by Sam Bobian and Andrew Bishop. In Good Co. Detroit is developed by the New Economy Initiative with support from the Knight Foundation. Go to ingoodcodetroit.com to hear more about the Bengal Auto Sales story on video and blog. And to connect to the resources and practical tools to help keep Detroit's entrepreneurs in gear. Follow at InGoodCoDetroit on social media and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss a story. Thanks for listening.